This morning we want to look in the book of Luke, Luke chapter 22, and we want to kind of continue a little bit of the same theme that we've had throughout the last few services, or at least the last few Sundays, and we've titled this message, Truth. And truth is a very important thing, and truth can pull you close, and truth can push you away. But the important thing is truth. And so we want to read verse 31 of Luke chapter 22, and I certainly do appreciate you being in our service, and of course those that are viewing online this morning and that will be. We thank you for your attendance as well. Verse 31 says, "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me." Let's pray. Father, thank you for our time together. We thank you for all those that's here. We thank you for those that are viewing. Lord, we thank you for your presence. We thank you for the songs and the testimony. And Lord, we're just so grateful that we have this opportunity to meet together, to worship you, to spend time with you. And now, Lord, we pray if there's someone in our midst that doesn't know Christ as our personal Savior, Lord, speak to that heart. And Lord, if there's someone that's just simply not as close to you as they one time were, Lord, I pray that they'll have that conviction, that drawing, that they'll get things right and be close to you. Lord, we pray that you'll help me this morning. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, when I read this passage of Scripture in these two verses, I think of the fact that they're tender, but yet terrifying. These verses reveal a tender love of our Savior, but it also gives you the understanding and the heart of Satan. Did Satan want to cause destruction to Peter and his life? Is Satan still on that same mission today? You know, when we think about life sometimes, we consider where we are, we consider where we've been, we consider the direction we're headed. And many times we make a lot of decisions, and I know I've been guilty in life to make decisions and not really seek the Lord's direction. But the thought in sometimes that we have in our lives that it won't ever happen to me. A year ago this weekend, the western part of North Carolina and other areas woke to devastation. They woke to destruction. Lives would be changed forever. And it happens so fast. And for many, it happens so unexpectedly. There was a lot of documentaries and a lot of things that are in the airways and giving people's testimonies of their life. There's a lot of things that happened yesterday in certain little towns and areas just commemorating the year that would, or at least the day that tragically took a lot of lives and changed a lot of lives. But when you think of the mountains, you think of that's a pretty safe place. I mean, that's where when people are along the coastline and they know a hurricane is coming, they head inland. And one of the safest places that our mind would think would be the mountains. But yet there was so much devastation a year ago that it literally took so many lives and property, and just lives were changed. And so they had no idea of the possibility of the destruction. Peter, when he was talking to the Lord, and when the Lord was interacting with him during this time, Peter had no idea what would soon happen in his life. He had no idea. Although he was being told, he had no idea what was soon to take place. He simply did not understand what Jesus was trying to tell him and what Jesus was trying to show him. His response would be what I would consider a normal response, one that would be honorable, one that you would think would take place, and that was found in verse 33, where he says, "I'm ready to go with you both into prison and to death." So I believe that Peter, when he made that statement, he had good intentions. He didn't think that anything would happen. Peter believed that no matter what was taking place, he was going to stand for Jesus. He says, "I'm ready." He says, "I'm ready to go with thee." He says, "I'm ready to go to prison." He said, "I'm ready to face death." And at that moment, he felt safe. At that moment, when he made that statement or that response, he felt safe. He had a moment that he felt secure. Nowhere in his mind would he think that something would change. It was almost like he was saying, "It'll never happen to me. It'll never happen to me." But yet the Lord knew his future. The Lord knew what would take place. Verse 34 says, "I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day." That's how soon it would be. He said, "The cock would not crow this day before thou shalt deny me thrice, that thou knowest me." That's pretty quick. The mind. Did Peter give... Maybe I could put it this way. Maybe I could use it as an example. How many times, as you were growing up, did you tell your children, "You better be careful, or if you're not careful, something is going to happen to you," or "You need to be careful with, you know, who you're around. You need to be careful with what you're getting ready to do." And you would be heeding a warning, and especially as a teenager, you would look at them and kind of roll your eyes. You that were children, and we all were children at one point, did we do that? And then we that are parents, did our children do the same thing? Almost like, "It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. There's nothing going to happen like that." And it's almost like there was an eye roll to the point of, "It won't ever happen." Was his or Peter, was Peter, did he give him when he said, Lord, I'm gonna be ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. Did he give a response kind of like an eye roll, or did he give a response that Peter became fearful of the possibility? Because to be honest with you, when I was growing up, sometimes my parents would tell me not to do something, or they would try to direct me, and sometimes I would give an eye roll of some sort, or a sigh, or just some kind of gesture, but then there was other times that I would be afraid because of the possibility. Maybe he started second guessing himself and his response. You know, when we were working with youth, and of course we've worked with youth a lot of our years, and we would ask them questions, and they would the response would be, you know, I said, you know, how close, what do you need to do, or you know, you would have a lesson, and it would be kind of like, you know, how can you get closer to the Lord? And the responses would be, well, read your Bible and pray, go to church. And it was almost like those were very quick responses, but yet that was the heart of getting close to the Lord. But yet they were quick responses, almost like they knew the right answers, but they chose not to do those things. You see, truth is what Jesus was saying to Peter. He was telling him truth. He was telling him truth. I know two different people that I shared with you a couple services ago that during my time that I worked in Charlotte. And I became close to two different individuals that I worked with, and both were professing Christians. And one was in the ministry. He and his wife worked with youth, and they were fully involved with their church, and they were in the ministry. The other was not necessarily in the ministry per se as a leader, but yet he was very involved with his church, and he would tell me about some of the things that they would do, and so he was always there. When the doors were open, he was always there. And we would talk about the Lord very often, almost in a daily, you know, daily basis. But yet, things happened to both of them. And I haven't talked to them in several years now. But things happened in their lives to both of them, and due to the circumstances in their lives, they made some bad decisions. And those bad decisions, in reality, led to destruction. One left the ministry, and I guess I probably stayed in contact with him more than the other one, but one left the ministry, and he was just at a loss. He became very troubled, and he went wayward. The other one went bankrupt. The other one got a DUI, or that same one that went bankrupt got a DUI, lost his license for a year, and then he had a child tragically die. Satan desires that Christians stumble. Satan's desire, as Jesus said, has a desire, as he was telling Peter, has a desire to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. He has that desire. Satan's desire that Christians get sidetracked and be sidelined. That's what his desire is. And many times you don't see it coming because you think of yourself, and I'm no different than we think to ourselves, it's going to never happen to me. It's going to never happen to me. Just like so many last year in Western North Carolina never thought that they would still be picking up a year later. Devastation and destruction. They didn't see it coming. And I've shared with you before and continue to share with you that Satan attacks in so many ways. Satan's desire is to attack. So therefore, your relationship with the Lord is the most important thing in your life. Your relationship with the Lord is the most important thing. First of all, have you been saved? Now, I was talking to someone several years ago, and I was talking to a dear lady who's in heaven now, but I was talking to her, and I asked her, I said, have you been saved? And she said, well, I hope so. And that's a kind response, but we want and we desire that a person say, I know so. Because I hope so, that means there's a certain amount of still doubt in your mind. But we don't want you to leave this morning without knowing that you're saved. That knowing that if you took your last breath, which it could happen at any moment, that if you took your last breath, then you would be in eternity with Jesus. Because as real as heaven is, hell is just as real. Just as real. And we love to talk about heaven, and we love to talk about seeing our loved ones, and we love to talk about all those things. And we rejoice over that. We want to see Jesus. But yet, hell is just as real. And there are people in hell right now that said no to Jesus. There are people in hell right now that that had good intentions. And there are people in hell right now that said, I hope that I'm saved. Well, you can know this morning beyond a shadow of a doubt. And all you have to do is call upon the name of the Lord. And as the Bible says, thou shalt be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. So the question is, in your relationship with the Lord, is have you been saved? Do you know Him in a personal way? Do you know Him that you know there was a time in your life that you said yes to Jesus Christ? And then the next question is, are you where you need to be in that relationship? Are you where you need to be in that relationship? You know you're saved, but yet, you know, let's just say life happenings got in the way. Life itself got in the way. You know, when, I'm just like you in the thoughts. We want the Lord Jesus Christ to come back at any time. But when we're younger, and of course, the Bible says that He's coming, and I was taught that as before I was even saved. I was taught that as a young age, and I was taught that, growing up, and I've always heard that, and I've always, especially when I became a Christian, I've always believed that we're looking for Him to come. But let's face it, when you're young and when you're, you know, you've got these ideas and these plans, I believe it was, Brother Ward was preaching a message just before Darla and I got married, and Brother Ward was preaching a message from this pulpit about heaven and about the Lord Jesus Christ coming back, and I'm just like you. A lot of times my thought was, well, can you wait till after we get married? But you know, we never know when it's going to be. We never know when that time is going to happen, and we never know. And so we have these things, but the most important thing is that we have that relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and that you're close to Him, because that relationship is more important than any other relationship, because if that relationship is where it needs to be, then other relationships will become stronger. Knowing Jesus Christ and having that relationship with Him, then other relationships that you have in your life will be stronger because you have His help. You have His help. This morning, the message is titled Truth. What does this passage reveal to us? What does this passage show us? Well, the first thing I want to make mention this morning is this. These verses reveal something about our Lord. If we really look at these verses and really understand these verses and dissect these verses show us something about the Lord. And the first thing that it shows us is that the Lord has perfect knowledge about our future. He has perfect knowledge about our future. He was literally telling Peter, I know your future. I know what is going to happen. You need to be ready. You need to be ready. He knew that was going to happen in Peter's life. He knew that Satan would attack Peter. And Satan attacked Peter at a very vulnerable moment. He was already full of emotion because they had taken Jesus captive. He was already full of emotion. He was already full of weakness. He didn't know what was going to happen. He was unsure, so he started following Jesus and started following what was taking place. And it was almost like there was so much happening in his life that he became unsure. And it was at that point that Satan attacked him. Satan attacked him. And the questions became asked. You're one of his. You're one of his. And Peter says, I don't know him. Peter says, I don't know him. And there were three times that Peter said no. But yet in Peter's heart, he knew who Jesus was. And I think of the fact that after the first question, Peter started remembering just a little bit before Peter that the Lord said, you're going to deny me. And Peter said, no, I'd never do that. I'd never do that. So Satan began to attack because Jesus knew the attack was on. Jesus knew that Peter would deny him. Jesus knew that Peter would be filled with remorse because that look that Jesus gave Peter once that cock crowed, the third times that he denied him, there's one gospel that says that Jesus looked at him and that look, and it says he went out and wept bitterly. He went out and wept bitterly. Jesus knew that that would bring discouragement. He knew. But he also knew that Peter would be restored. And he also knew that although Peter failed, that failure would make him stronger. You see, there's nothing that he doesn't know about you and I. There's nothing that he doesn't know. We don't know, but the Lord knows. The Lord knows. So there's a great comfort. There's a great comfort. In the book of Job, Job chapter 23, verse 10, the Bible says, but he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Whether we realize it or not, or whether we want to think about it or not, Satan is going to, in some way, shape, or form, in some way, is going to attack each one of us. And he's going to look for the weak points in our life. He's going to look when we are at our weakest point, and then he's going to attack. Just like he did with Peter. These verses speak to us about the Lord's personal concern for his children. The Lord is concerned about each one of us. He's concerned about each one of us because he pinpoints Peter out and ultimately is saying, I'm concerned about you. I'm concerned. Peter was in danger, but Jesus was personally concerned about him. And I believe that he's personally concerned about each one of us. Verse 32 says, but I have prayed for thee. I have prayed for thee. I've prayed. That shows a personal concern when someone prays, and the fact that Jesus Christ prayed for Peter. Number three, this verse speaks of the importance Peter was to the Lord. The importance. When he says, I've prayed for thee, and he's warning him, that shows that he's concerned, but that shows that he's important. Peter's important. Every one of us this morning is important to the Lord. You know, sometimes in school, people will make you feel less important. Sometimes people will say things and hurt you and it'll make you feel less important. But I'm here to say this morning that Jesus Christ is that believes that you're important to him because we look at the cross and we see that. We see the cross and we see the importance that we are to him because of the cross and the fact that he actually prayed for him. He prayed for him. Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 and 23, the Bible says, and straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitude away. And verse 23 says, and when he had sent the multitude away, he went up to the mountains apart to pray. And when evening was come, he was there alone. But yet we know that passage of scripture where the storms arose and the Lord helped. And of course, Peter too asked to walk on the water. But Jesus Christ cares for every single person here and every single person that is viewing and every single person that is out in the world. Jesus cares. He cares. And this verse shows this. This passage shows that this morning. These verses reveal something also about Satan. It reveals something also about Satan. His objective is to destroy the Christian. His objective is to destroy the Christian. His mission, his goal, his target are believers because they stand for the truth. When I was little, that was back when the first house that I remember, I was little and I hadn't even started school yet. Wasn't even old enough to start kindergarten. And I remember there was a storm and I was sleeping. It was only a two-room house and there was six of us, children and my mom and dad, and we were all kind of together and we were all kind of cramped up. And I remember, looking out and there was a lightning storm. And I remember looking out of the window just like I'm standing here. That's how real it was to me. And I remember looking out and I was seeing up in the sky and I was seeing the bolts of lightning. And they scared me. Because it was almost like it was almost like it was gunfire. It was almost like it was just these bolts and it was scaring me. And we lived right beside the church that my dad pastored. And, the very next, service that we had, and I don't remember if it was the next day or not, but my dad was preaching and he said, there's a warfare going on. And the first thing that I thought about, even as a little boy, that it was almost like I was seeing a warfare up in the sky. But in reality, there's a warfare in life and we need to be prepared. We need to be prepared with the warfare that is Satan is on the attack. And if we let our guard down, then that's when he's going to attack and that's when he's going to try to destroy. It's when we let our guard down. And with all that was taking place in Peter's life and them taking the Lord Jesus and all the emotions that's taking place and all those things, then Peter, yes, he denied him three times. So it was fulfilled what Jesus told him would take place. Satan wants to destroy the believer, but Satan also wants to attack. And what is the one thing that he wants to attack? I mentioned to you a couple of services ago that he wants to attack truth, but there's something else that he wants to attack, and that is he wants to attack our faith. He wants to attack our faith. Notice the prayer that Jesus said in verse 32, "But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not." So the attack is on truth, and the truth of the matter is he wants to attack our faith. Our faith. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6 says, "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." What does the first part of that verse say? But without faith it is impossible to please him. So why would Satan not want to attack our faith? Because that's what Jesus was praying for. That's what Jesus told Peter, that I'm praying for your faith. And he's still on the attack today. When I first got saved, and you may have had the same issue, but when I first got saved on that Friday night, on Saturday morning, the first thing that Satan wanted to do was cast doubt. And you said to yourself, did I really get saved? Did this really happen? But it wasn't until just a few weeks later that I came to that realization that it did happen, because I was questioning by my parents. They said, what changed in your life? Because I wasn't acting the same way. And they say, what changed in your life? When did it happen? And they literally, my dad asked me, when did it happen? And I was thinking to myself, I don't think I've done anything wrong. And I said, when did what happen? And he said, when did you get saved? You see, that's when it becomes real. And Satan is trying to attack the faith. He's trying to attack the faith. And our faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's still trying to attack it. But we know that Peter denied him. And we know that he wept bitterly. But let me say this. Although Peter denied the Lord, Peter's failure did not define him. It did not define him. Yes, there was times in his life that Peter was self-confident. And I think that when he answered the Lord and said, I'm not going to deny you, and I'll go wherever you go, and all those things, I believe that he was doing that under self-confidence, and he had his own confidence. But yet our self-confidence will later cause us to fail, just like it caused Peter to fail. But Peter knew at that moment, and when he went out and wept bitterly, and when the Lord was died on the cross and he rose on the third day, and there was a time in those verses that says, send for my disciples and Peter. Peter then knew that he needed the Lord. And that's what we need this morning. We need the Lord. We need the Lord in every aspect of our life. And when we start thinking we can do things ourselves and we don't need him, that's when trouble's going to start. You see, the truth is that we need the Lord each and every single day. John chapter 17, verse 20, the Bible says, neither pray I for thee alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. See, in John chapter 17, Jesus was praying. But in verse 20 and following, he's praying for believers. You see, we need his help. We need his help. Truth. Let me give you some truth in closing. Truth, Satan is looking to attack. Truth, Jesus cares for you. Truth, we can't stand without him. Now here's the truth that only you can answer. Where are you in life? Where are you in your relationship with Him? You see, I can't answer that truth, nor can you answer that truth for me. You don't know my struggles, and I don't know your struggles. But we know one that does. And we know one that we need to look to. And if we ever have enough confidence in ourselves to say, it'll never happen to me, then we better think again and look at Peter's life. The storms a year ago made total destruction in so many people's lives. The storm was coming. The rains fell. Waters rose at rapid rates. Homes, businesses, townships were literally washed away. Destruction. And there was destruction coming at every path that you could look. People were trying to run for safety. Many people lost their lives. There's still some that was unaccounted for. But that is what a storm will do. But what about in our personal Christian life? Satan is on the attack. And he's going to attack in so many ways. And I'll give you a personal testimony that ever since I've been talking about Satan, and ever since I've been talking about and warning you against him, there has been an attack in my own personal life. But the important thing is that we band together and stand for truth. And the truth is the Lord Jesus Christ. The truth is the fact that you must be born again. The truth is all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The truth is we all need Jesus in our lives. And the truth is Satan's on the attack and he's looking to destroy. And he's looking to cause havoc in our lives. But we know one that is greater, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. That's what the truth is. That's what we stand for. And that is what is being proclaimed, is truth. But here's the question. Are you where you need to be in your relationship with Jesus? Be honest. Just like I have to be honest. Be honest. Have you been saved? If you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, I ask you to come forward this morning. And someone will take the Bible. And you'll leave here a different person. But I also ask if you've just allowed life to get in the way. And it does. There's so many distractions out there. It gets in the way. And you've lost your focus. Just like Peter lost his focus. I invite you to come. And it begins with saying, Lord, I just want to be close to you. My desire is to be close to you. You know, the things that we worry about, the things that concern us, in reality, is it really going to matter anything? Is it really going to matter 100 years from now? But what's going to matter is our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. So as we have our invitation, I invite you to come. If the Lord's spoken to your heart, I invite you to come. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you that we can look at the Scriptures and see how you feel about us. We also can look at the Scriptures and see a person's life, and we see their struggles. But Lord, we know this morning that we have the same struggles. So as we have this invitation, Lord, if there's someone that doesn't know Christ as their Savior, Lord, I pray that you'll touch that heart and cause them to say yes to Jesus. That they'll zero in on you and say, I want to be saved. Father, if there's someone that just isn't where they need to be, that they've just allowed life to get in the way, Lord, I pray that they'll come and just say, Lord, I want to be close to you. I don't want all these distractions, but I want you to be first in my life. Lord, I pray that they'll come. However you've spoken to hearts this morning, I pray that, Lord, you'll just have your will and way. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.